On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Ralph Phillips.
I'm Ali Bay.
Today is March 28th, 2019, 6:42 p.m. You got anything for us?
I have a few things.
Hold on. Wait a second. Before we start, we're going to do our follow-up.
Fact checks.
Follow-up and fact checks. Let's see. Follow-up. Jake Matthews is still the starting left tackle for the Falcons. He signed a 5-year, $72 million contract with Atlanta in 2018. His average annual salary was $14.5 million. So, yes, he is still the starting left tackle for the Falcons.
Okay, good to know. So, we've only got one new left tackle in the division at Carolina.
Okay.
That was the point I was making in the last podcast.
Okay, well, point well taken.
Okay.
Fact check. Will Golston is still on the team.
I thought that didn't
sound right. As soon as I said it, I was like, what am I saying here? But I figured I'd go with it and fact check it later. And guess what? Here we are.
You're really doing a blow to our credibility here.
What credibility? We're Buccaneer fans and we have a microphone. That's as far as our credibility goes. Yeah. He signed a 5-year, $27 million contract with the Bucs in 2017. But his guaranteed money is already done, so he's scheduled to make $3.75 million in 2019.
I knew that we could cut him with no cap hit.
Yes.
So we still could, theoretically.
Yeah, and it's probably coming. I would imagine. I don't know. They might just cut the whole defensive line.
Maybe.
JPP, Gerald McCoy, Golston.
Who knows?
Nah, they ain't going to cut Nansen. He's too cheap.
Carl.
And Noah Spence. Is he going to play this year? I think so. I wish somebody would tell us what's going on with that situation, but apparently rumors are him and Buckner did not get along.
Yeah, that's, I think, Pewter Report said there was some issue there.
Yeah.
Joe Bucks fan said he had some personal issues.
Well, whatever it is, it's very, very strange for such a high draft pick to basically be benched for 2 years. And he rarely played.
Yeah.
Really. He'd be 3 or 4 snaps a game, just about.
And then some games, he was inactive.
Yes. Very, very strange. Because he's one that, you know, watching game film on him, I was like, man, this guy can be elite. But he's gone nowhere. Nothing. He's not even getting snaps. I think that's going to change. I think Bruce Arians is going to come in here and Bowles, and they're going to set him as an outside linebacker. Same thing with Nassib. And they're just going to have him go to town. Just rush the quarterback.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Golston might be a defensive tackle. They might move into a defensive
tackle.
Right,
because isn't he kind of the right size?
He's a little bigger. He's a good run stopper. Yeah, he's too big to be a
linebacker. Right, like the linebackers in a 3-4, they're kind of bigger and taller. Kind of JPP's build.
Yeah, a little bit.
Leaner. Yeah. Taller and leaner.
Yes. Not as small as the linebackers we have.
Right.
Here's the way I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be Buchanan and David are going to be the inside linebackers or the middle linebackers, whatever you want to call them. And then we're going to have a rotation with Shaquille Barrett, Nassib, Noah Spence, and some other linebackers we're probably going to get. Kevin Minter will probably be thrown in there every now and then. Although I think he'll probably be a middle linebacker. I don't know.
We have a lot of options there.
Got the film done on the Shaquille Barrett. Got the video done and everything. By the time you're hearing this podcast, it'll probably be up on the website. So go to the website, check it out. What I did is I took week one of the 2017 season against the Chargers, and I just took each play that Shaquille was on the field and did the game film for that, the coach's film. So it's all in sequence. It's just back to back. Every play he was on the field. No narration. I didn't want to taint anybody's viewpoint, do any framing or anything of that nature. So I just put it on there and let you decide.
I like it. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see if it's not as exciting as the highlight reels and the videos where you chop up and you put some crazy music to it and you boom, bam, bam. See how awesome this guy is?
He did put music to it, though.
Yeah, it's just background music.
Huh? Yeah, it's good. I'm excited.
Fact check. Donovan Smith's autism walk is April 27th, not April 26th.
You are so far off there.
I was so close.
People are going to show up a day early. They're going to be mad at you.
They are. Another fact check. Gerald McCoy is 31, not 30.
Okay.
His birthday is February 25th, so he just turned 31.
Okay.
He was born in 1988.
Like a month ago.
Yep.
All right. There we go.
We should have known that because we follow him on Twitter, and I think we even wished him a happy birthday. Don't know.
I don't know because he's been off Twitter lately.
Yeah.
But that was a month ago.
Yeah.
So he's probably still on there now.
It's funny, you know, Arian saying all this stuff about him and saying he's not quite as disruptive as he was 4 years ago, and you haven't heard a thing from McCoy. He hasn't been on Twitter or Instagram, nothing.
I'm going to talk about this in a minute.
Okay. All right. Let's continue with our fact checks and follow-ups. Follow-up. Did Jimmy Johnson play football? Yes. For the University of the Arkansas Razorbacks.
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 They're like the California Raisins.
little shriveled up purple dudes out there, the Razorbacks. He played defensive lineman and was a teammate of future Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones.
I watched that Football Life on the NFL Network.
We knew that, but it's hard
That's
to recall.
That's where we heard that clip from, that speech that he gave.
Fatigue makes cowards of us all.
That's it.
My favorite quote. His nickname was Jimmy Jump Up because he never stayed down on the ground for long during football practices or games.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Another follow-up. As it stands now, we have Michael Lidke and Cole Boozer behind Donovan Smith.
Who is Cole Boozer?
Exactly.
And why is he not a starter with that name? There's so many good nicknames we could come up with.
His first name should be Cooter. Cooter Boozer.
I was thinking like a Boozer Cruiser.
Boozer Cruiser. Mm-hmm. I like that.
So many good ones.
I couldn't find any information on him whatsoever, except for what college he went to, and I didn't write that down.
Never heard of him in my life.
I know. There's nothing on him.
Well, it's interesting because I was reading that article the Buccaneers.com put out about Blaine Gabbert,
mm-hmm.
and they said we have four quarterbacks on the roster.
I know. You were telling
me
about that.
Did you know that?
I had no idea.
So it's Winston, Griffin, now Blaine Gabbert, and Joe Callahan. Never heard of that Joe character.
Is his name a Joe Callahan or Joe Callahan?
Yes. It's a Joe Callahan character. It's Joe. His name's Joe.
I never heard of him.
Me neither.
You know, that's the thing in the offseason. They pick up all these guys. You know, they sign on the future contracts, all that stuff. They probably won't even make the OTAs.
Yeah. Well,
when
we went to practice last summer, it was the end of July, and there were some dudes there. Number 71, 72. We had to read their numbers after they signed our stuff.
Yeah, we had no idea who they were.
We had no idea who they were. And I don't think they stayed on the team.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lidke is a different story. He's been in the league since 2015. I didn't know that. But he's been a practice squad warrior. He's been on the practice squad with Miami, Kansas City, Cleveland, and Tampa Bay. He was signed by the Jets in 2016, but then waived before the season started, so he never made their practice squad.
Oh, so he's been with five.
He's been with five teams. Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. He played in one game for us in 2017. He took two special team snaps in that game, and he played in nine games in 2018. So I was all excited. I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna go check out his game film." I don't remember. You know, I do all the game film during the season. I looked through my notes, and I was like, "I don't remember seeing him any there." Well, it's because he only played three offensive snaps. But he played 37 special team snaps. So he's been a practice squad warrior. And now he's moved up to a special teams warrior.
Okay.
But anyhow, those are the two guys behind Donovan Smith. Because remember, I was like freaking out because we got rid of Western.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's the only backup tackle we have.
I decided to fact check myself. It was actually two podcasts ago when we were talking about DeAndre Hopkins and his little dog and his bag.
Yes.
I said he had a little white fluffy dog.
I thought it was a...
It's a Yorkie.
Oh,
it was a tiny little Yorkie that he was thinking about buying. So he didn't even have the dog. And then he was asking, if I buy a Yorkie, can I carry it around in a bag?
So he wasn't buying the dog. He was just renting it?
I don't know. He was contemplating the purchase of the dog and the bag.
Oh, he was test driving the dog.
I don't know.
I didn't even know you could do that.
You can't. He was thinking about buying a dog. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, he didn't have the dog
yet. No, he didn't have a dog yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wonder, did he ever get it?
I don't know. I Googled DeAndre Hopkins' tiny dog in a bag, and nothing came up, so I would assume no. Seems like something he'd put on his Instagram. So there is my fact check. Apparently, J.C. Cornell on Twitter is saying that we offered Morris Claiborne a league minimum deal.
I read about that. That really, really surprises me, because I wanted to draft him, and... Then he went to Dallas, and I wouldn't say he crapped a bed, but he just didn't live up to his billing. He had some good plays, but
he
got
good
beat a lot.
For a lot of pass interference calls, and he was injured all the time.
Yeah, so now here it is. He's got no team that wants him, and he's getting offered league minimum. That's crazy for a first-round draft pick,
yeah,
especially in a cornerback.
Yeah. And he was top 10, right?
Yeah. I think we get? I can't remember.
Was that the year that we drafted Barron?
I think it was. So that'd be 2012.
Yeah. And we had, what, like a top 3 pick?
Top 7.
Yeah.
I think Barron was drafted 7th. Fact check follow-up.
I know. So needless to say, he's not taking that.
Man, that must be hard. But just think about, I mean, if somebody offered you $500,000 to play football, you'd be like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe not you, but I don't know.
I'd be a kicker or something.
For $500,000.
I'd be a long snapper.
I'd be quarterback for $500,000. I don't care. But to these guys, you know, they're used to getting millions. And they're like, $500,000?
You insult them with that offer.
Right. So he's going to go at least a year without any money because he doesn't want to take $500,000.
Right.
It's being a little entitled there, I would think.
I guess so. But if you think that you're a better player, that might be an insult.
Well, you got to swallow your pride in this life.
That's true. There's a lot of egos in football.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Blaine Gabbert, we signed him to a one-year deal.
Blaine. What a disaster.
I know. No information on his salary yet. That'll come out, I'm sure. About a month ago, maybe more, we were talking about how Greg Schiano was going to the Patriots, and you pointed out he hadn't signed anything yet.
Yes.
Well, about an hour ago, Adam Schefter reported that Greg Schiano was stepping down.
Yeah, that's very, very strange.
The Patriots defensive coordinator. He cited a need to spend more time with my family and faith.
That's what they always say when they're trying to get out of a situation. I think he, because he is a very strong, devout Christian man. He believes in honor and integrity and blah, blah, blah. And it might be the stuff with Kraft where he's like, I just don't know if I can work underneath that.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too. It might be. I don't know.
Who knows? It's very strange though, because, he goes from being the defensive coordinator of Ohio State to get a shot at the NFL again and then to back away from it and decide, because it sounds like he's not going to do anything for at least another year, because he was out for, I think, 2 years before he took the Ohio State job. Mm-hmm. And, he's a football guy. He's said plain outright, he doesn't have any hobbies, nothing. Football is his life. It goes faith, family, football. That's what he talked about all the time. Faith, family, football. It's his whole life. Now, here it is. He's not going back in the NFL to the championship team.
Right. Who has a very good chance of doing it again.
Yes. And to mentor under Bill Belichick like that. Some very strange stuff there. Be interesting to find out what that's all about.
Right. Bucks sent Todd Bowles to Ed Oliver's pro day at Houston.
Okay. The draft.
I know. There's so much talk about, there's so much argument today on Twitter about Devin White or Devin Bush.
Yeah.
Apparently Devin White is garbage, according to half of the fan base.
Devin White?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about college players. I try to stay away from the draft mess because, to me, you've said this, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
It's so rare if you could pinpoint a guy and go, this guy is going to be a franchise player for our team for the next 10 years, and you're right.
Yeah.
It's so rare. Normally, it's the guys in the later rounds.
We were just talking about that. Morris Claiborne, drafted top 10.
Yeah. I would love to do that one day, go through all the draft picks and see where at the best players come from. And I guarantee you, it's not the top guys. The vast majority of them probably come from mid-rounds.
Remember when Trent Richardson was drafted first overall?
Yeah.
Gone. Where is he?
How'd that turn? I think he's in the AFF.
Something.
Somewhere.
Gene Dekaroff has been inducted into the Sports Club of Tampa Bay Hall of Fame.
Yeah, fantastic. I love Gene Dekaroff. His voice is just so iconic with the Buccaneers.
He's very soothing. Weirdly soothing when you're listening to a game.
He used to do the Allstott A-Train. A-Train! And it was great.
Actually, in the article, or in the tweet about that, everyone's doing their best Gene lines.
Well, good for him. That's a good honor, good award to get. He should get all the awards, if you ask me. I mean, he's been doing this for over 30 years with the Buccaneers. He's seen it all, I'm sure. Yeah, he's all I know as far as radio commentating. I've never heard anybody else do it for the Buccaneers. Hope I never do. Hope he lives to be 250.
He looks pretty old. Not pretty old.
Yep. Love Gene. Hope he stays the announcer forever.
I hope so, too, for your sake.
who I like is the guy from Arizona does the radio announcing.
Right. He sounds like Kronk from Emperor's New Groove.
Who, in turn, sounds like Jesse Ventura.
That's funny.
I thought it was Jesse Ventura the first few times I heard it. I was like, why is Jesse Ventura doing the broadcasting for Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah.
Maybe he lives there.
It's not him.
Oh. So last thing I have today, which we've talked about this ad nauseum.
Rick Stroud. Rick, come on, man. Get with it.
Came out with a new article on,
Gerald,
you guessed it,
McCoy.
Gerald McCoy. And this is a quote, and this is actually what the Tampa Bay Times is marketing it with. Quote, okay, enough of this charade, writes at NFL Stroud. McCoy isn't going to be with the Bucs next season. The clumsy way the Bucs have handled his departure is just reminiscent of how the organization has always said goodbye to its stars.
Isn't this the same guy that said they were definitely keeping him?
The clumsy way the Bucs have handled this? No.
I haven't.
Rick, you have bungled this from the beginning. I mean, I don't even know how he can say, put this on the Bucs in any way.
Right. And Arians came out, and I think Arians was just being honest, and God bless it. This is why coaches and players can't be honest, because then the media jumps on them. You know, y'all are bungling this. And everybody in the media has been talking about how Arians should have handled it. You know, he should have taken McCoy to the side and talked to him privately and not said this out in the open, whatever. I'm like, no, see, that's why these guys give us nothing but blank scripted speeches and quotes all the time, because y'all jump on them for every damn thing. And here it is. Arians is giving us how he's thinking, which is what I want. And the media's jumping on him saying he's bungling it up and that he should have done it this way or that way. He shouldn't have said this.
Well, publicly about McCoy, they've been very consistent.
I think they've been extremely consistent.
So I don't know who he talked to within the organization that gave him this information that said that Bowles and Arians had evaluated McCoy and thought he was a good fit. But that's not on Bowles and Arians.
Right. Yeah, that's on Rick Stroud.
That's on Rick Stroud.
If Rick Stroud would have quoted his source, or at least quoted somebody, he didn't quote anybody. He just said that they said that Gerald McCoy could fit in the system. He didn't quote him. And then he turns around and says, Gerald McCoy will be a Buccaneer in 2019.
Right.
Now he's turning around and he's saying, but Gerald McCoy is not going to be a Buccaneer in 2019.
And then is blaming the Buccaneers for the inconsistency in his reporting.
Yes. So, you know, get with it, Rick.
This is why I get irritated with the media, is that you're making the organization look bad because of something that you've said that wasn't correct.
Right.
Something that you reported. It's on him. It's not on the Bucs.
Right, but see, that's it. Nobody remembers this. I mean, how many Buccaneer fans or, heck, even NFL fans know all these dang reporters' names? If you read an article, who pays attention to who's writing it and what their history is and who keeps track of how often they're wrong and all this good stuff? I mean, how many Buccaneer fans out there know the difference between Rick Stroud, Roy Cummings, Greg Allman, Scott Reynolds, Mike Cook, TJ Reeves, Mark Cook, Jenna Lane,
Luke Easterling,
Justin Pawlinski, Steve Isbitz, DeCamper, all these guys. I mean, Ira Kaufman. You know, you might know a couple of these guys, whatever, but do you know, do you remember where you read an article from and who wrote it? No, and they count on that. Everybody just throws a bunch of junk out there, and then when they get something right, they walk around like a peacock. But when they get something wrong, they blame their sources or the organization, whatever. It gets old.
Yeah, the whole McCoy thing, it's going to be emotional for, I think, a lot of fans.
Right.
It's going to be controversial. There's people who aren't going to like it. McCoy's not going to like it, I don't think.
I don't think he likes it right now. I wish he would get on Twitter or Instagram and say something.
Yeah. I know. He's been dead quiet. And actually,
it's very unusual for him.
Rick Stroud's article, it said that he hasn't been on social media at all.
That's very, very unusual for him.
Right. Because even in the early offseason when there were rumors that he was getting traded or released, you know, he was tweeting cryptic stuff.
Really weird stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was out there tweeting.
Right. So maybe there's more weight to it at this point in the game than maybe at the beginning.
That's what makes football fun, all the drama. It's male soap opera. Not as bad as wrestling, but it is. You know. Speaking of which, we had talked on the last podcast about CTE and injuries and all that. And I brought up the grievance industry and I was like, look, it doesn't matter. We could get rid of all the concussions, every single one of them, and they're still going to complain. You know, once you open up the door for this mess, it's impossible to close it. You know, what the NFL should have done was told them to F off. We're men. We play football. We get hurt. We get paid a lot of money to do it. We know the risk, blah, blah, blah. And I said, we could get rid of all the concussions, all the CTE diagnoses, whatever, and it doesn't matter. They'll move on to something else. It'll be neck injuries or ACLs or MCLs or shoulder injuries, whatever. They're just going to keep on, keep on, keep on. Funny thing, I wake up today, I'm reading the Washington Times. They've got an article entitled...
It's the Washington Post.
Washington Post, entitled... NFL looking into high number of lower extremity injuries. They go on in the article and they talk about how concussions have dropped 30%, blah, 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 whatever. But now the doctors and stuff are going, gee, it seems like there's a lot of knee injuries. Maybe we should start worrying about that.
It was like ACL injuries and then foot and ankle injuries and hamstring and groin injuries.
Right.
Which... those two are funny to me, the groin and hamstring, because they're really easy to fake.
Yes.
And it goes back to what Brent Grimes said in his wife's podcast,
yes,
that players do fake injuries so that they don't have to play. And those are the big ones, hamstring, groin.
Yeah. And track stars get hamstring and groin injuries, and that's not even contact sport.
What quarterback was it that... pulled a hammy. It was a total non-contact injury against the Bucs. I think it was Matt Hasselbeck with Seattle. It was like 2009 or 10. It was the year that they went to the playoffs. They went like 7-9. And that division was just so weak. They ended up going, they won the division and went to the playoffs. But he was playing the Bucs, and you could see some pull in his butt. Like, he just started limping around. It was a total non-contact injury.
His butt was twitching on the field. He was twerking involuntarily.
Well, he was like 50 at the time, so way too old to be on the field.
You are such an ageist. I just found that very humorous that right after I talked about the grievance industry and how once they get their foot in the door, they never stop. And all of a sudden, here's an article in Washington Post, of all places.
Player safety is not anything to joke about, Ralph. It's a serious issue.
It is. Okay. Well, just
shame
wrap them in
you.
Bubble wrap. That's all I say. Wrap them in bubble wrap. Well, I also have this theory that if you want to fix something, don't depend on people to fix it. Make the equipment fix it. If you want there to be no concussions in football, don't institute a bunch of rules because that's just going to mess everything up. It's that whole engineering saying, the more complex something is, the easier it is to break. But that's the NFL rule system right now. It's just way too complex. It's a mess. It's broken. We should be designing equipment to take care of this mess. Don't depend on people to fix it. Get the equipment to do it. Let these guys hit each other as hard as they want. But just, like I said, put them in bubble wrap.
Something. It's like we watched... what was it? I think it was that show about dogs we watched one time, like a documentary. And they did a study. The dog part doesn't really apply here, but they did a study where they were going to throw a ball to a human. And they asked the person, okay, what's your strategy for catching the ball? And they would explain what they were going to do. I'm going to run fast. I'm going to get up under it. I'm going to, do this or that. Most of them didn't do what they said they were going to do, but they all kind of did the same thing.
Yes.
So it's like with teaching.
And the dogs did the same thing,
too. The dogs did the same thing. That was the point.
Right.
But it's kind of the same thing with, like, teaching them how to tackle differently or whatever. You can think that you're doing it a certain way, but when you actually execute it, it's not necessarily what you thought you were doing.
Yes.
I mean, how many times have you been in a mirror and maybe had a pair of scissors trying to trim your beard and you can't get in the right spot?
Yeah.
You know?
You just end up trimming more and more and more, trying to get it right.
Right.
And you're like, eventually you've shaved yourself.
So it's just a really hard thing to do, to rely on the human mind, and especially such a fast paced game. Things are happening so quickly. You just can't react that fast.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point about the, I think it was frisbees. It was catching frisbees.
Something like that.
Yes. But everybody, the humans and the dogs, lined the frisbee up over their right shoulder and had it at a 20 degree angle. I mean, everything was almost, it's innate. It was the point.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And you're probably right. Tackling is probably the same way.
Well, and you got to figure these guys have been doing it, some of them, for 20 years. So that's muscle memory at that point. How long have they been doing the same thing?
Yes.
Their bodies just learn. I mean, they don't even think about what they're doing out there. And then
you don't want to think about it.
Exactly. But now they're having to.
Yes. Good point.
So they're having to change the way that they've played for years. All this muscle memory. They've got to overcome their intuition.
It's just messed up. It's going to really mess with the game and make it less enjoyable. I really think this whole crackback blocking is going to be a mess. You know, we've got so many rules now that, like you said, are totally subjective, but they're totally confusing. Like, nobody knows what a catch is anymore. Nobody knows what pass interference is anymore. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what intentional grounding is anymore. Nobody knows what a proper tackle is anymore. You know, when the receiver catches a ball, when can you tackle him? I don't know. I know what the rules say, but I know I watch games and they get blow to whistle or they don't get a blow to whistle. And you're like, that's not what the rules say.
Yeah.
And so now we've got this crackback block and it's like, that's going to be, I just don't know how they're going to do it. Because it happens all the time in every game. You know, it used to be just on the kickoffs, but now it's every play. You cannot do that. And that's just, I just don't know how they're going to do it.
I think they're moving towards getting rid of the punts and kickoffs.
Oh, yeah, that's coming.
Yeah.
Definitely. They might as well. I mean, good gosh, this crap's boring as heck now.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw any action on a punt or a kickoff? And plus, any action that made it through not getting a flag thrown on it.
Right. That's the big thing. I mean, we had a DeSean Jackson returned one for a touchdown, called back for I think
it was a crackback block.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Well, another rule that drives me crazy is the hands to the face rule. I watch a lot of game film and I see it all the time. That's one of the things about these rules. You know, when you institute a rule, it's just like with a law in the real world. If you're going down the road and everybody's speeding, doing 75 miles an hour and 55, and you're the only one that gets pulled over, that's not justice. That's selective justice. And I see that in football all the time. You know, like hands to the face. These guys, they get hands to the face all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, the linemen especially. And it doesn't get called. And then sometimes it does get called and you go, he barely even touched his helmet.
Right. There was a worse one in the last play that didn't get called.
Yeah. So, you know, the more rules you have, the more that crap you're going to have where, you know, non-calls and calls that shouldn't have been calls and just the more errors there's going to be.
Well, I suspect they'll probably get New York involved more, like have someone remotely reviewing all the calls. It's an extra layer of bureaucracy.
Extra layer of bureaucracy.
They're just giving the referees too much influence over the outcome of the game.
Yes. Well, I said that when the referee strike happened and they basically handed them over everything. I was like, oh, that's a bad, bad move because now these guys have way too much power.
Right.
And look at them. Now they're retiring early and going in the damn broadcast booth and making millions of dollars.
That's true.
It's like it's just a stepping stone. Now you get famous as a referee official and then you go into the broadcast booth.
Oh, yeah. Ed Hockley will be next.
Wouldn't surprise
me. They got Gene Steratore.
Big guns.
And who's the one on Fox? I can't stand him.
Oh, God. What, Pirelli?
Yeah. Because he's wrong. He's the
They're
one.
Wrong all the time.
He's the one. Okay, this was so long ago. This was Josh Freeman. Threw a pass to Mike Williams in the end zone, and they flagged.
It was for a touchdown.
It was for a touchdown. I think we would have won the game.
Yes, it was the last second of the game.
And what happened?
I think it was New Orleans, wasn't it? I can't remember
Probably.
Who it was. Might have been Carolina. The defender pushed Williams out of bounds in the end zone. He pushed him before he caught the ball. And Williams came back into the end zone and caught the ball, and they ruled it illegal touching because they said Josh Freeman went outside the pocket, and once he got outside the pocket, that the defender was allowed to make contact with the receiver. This was before the ball was thrown.
But he wasn't outside
He was
the
not outside the pocket. And even so, the receiver, the defender made contact with the receiver before Josh Freeman threw the ball or was outside the pocket. And here's what really infuriated me about that was they did not replay it at all. It was just like game over. That's it. Done. Boom. You know, the broadcast, they did not replay it. So you could see it was infuriating. But anyhow, yeah.
So you made a diagram like showing the whole thing.
Yes. And then confronted
Pirelli
with it.
What is his name? Driving me crazy.
Mike Pereira.
Pereira. Yes.
Anyhow, we confronted him with the diagrams and the, you know, drew up a chart. It was just ridiculous because I was furious. I was like, this was wrong. We were robbed.
This is what Ralph does. This is how committed to the Buccaneers he is.
And Pereira, when he was confronted with the fact that Freeman was not outside the pocket.
And the refs were wrong and he was wrong because he was in the broadcast booth spouting that nonsense.
Yes. And he said, well, Freeman was getting ready to go out of the pocket. That's what he said. That's why I had made the call. Okay. I was like, that's not how this works.
You're wrong.
Yes.
And you should just say that you're wrong.
Yeah. So anyhow, we're going to have a whole bunch more of that stuff. You're absolutely correct. The game is too much in the hands of the referees anymore, and we see it all the time where games end on bad calls.
Well, did you see now that...
That's New Orleans.
Speaking of that, they changed the rule that you can challenge pass interference, offense and defensive pass interference for non-calls and for calls.
Yes.
Which actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of like this.
Yes, I don't have a problem with that.
There's
at all.
A lot of BS. There's a lot of non-calls that are clearly pass interference and they don't call them.
Yes.
And you should be able to challenge that. If they're not going to call them, they should be calling him. Although I do fear for Mike Evans on this one because he gets a little handsy. He's very good at it.
Very, very good at it. Probably one of the best in the league at hiding that pass interference, offensive pass interference. Although he does get called it quite a bit.
He gets called.
But he doesn't get called on it near as much as he should. So yeah, this is going to hurt Mike Evans.
Probably.
Good point. I didn't think about that.
Right. But then you can challenge calls too. Which that's kind of been our complaint in the last few years is that pass interference is so subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this will be a checks and balance to that.
I sure hope so.
You know, Sean Payton is going to be pretty liberal with his challenges on that one.
Sean Payton's a doo-doo head.
I wish we could challenge intentional grounding calls.
Oh, I know.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees would have 7 a game. At least. Minimum.
He can't help it. He can't see over the line, Ralph.
I know.
Well, that's all I got. You got anything else?
Nope, that's about it. Not a whole lot of news going on the past couple days. So we figured we'd get up here and get on our soapbox and give a little bit of the what's what.
You know, primarily it's that you made these promises that we're going to do one Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We're following through with that commitment.
Yeah, well, we didn't do one Monday.
I tried. That was your fault. Just go. I'm just putting it out there.
It's the blame game.
We've done it twice in a row, so... We'll do one Monday, Sunday. Get it out Monday.
Yes. Yeah, hopefully there'll be some information coming out. We've got the voluntary people are going to start coming into the $1 plays, players and rookies and all that good stuff. Or rookies, not rookies. Here soon.
I think April 1st.
Yeah.
Which is Monday.
Next week. Yeah, we get a week early because Bruce Arians is a new head coach.
Yeah.
Yes.
But these are voluntary, right?
Yes. And this is interesting. Arians talked about... When he was asked about McCoy, he kept bringing up, I talk about players that are here. You know, don't ask me about players that aren't here. If he shows up, blah, 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 stuff like that. It sounds to me like the front office is expecting Jared McCoy to not show up for voluntary practices.
Well, maybe they're giving him a chance to prove that he wants to be here.
Yeah.
Because he's not, he's expendable this year. He's more expendable this year than he's ever been.
This is the first time in his career that he's, one, had a coach talk anywhere near negative about him.
Yeah.
And two, he's had to worry about his job. This is the first time in his career in 9 years.
So, and Bruce Arians' big thing, too, is that you have to prove that you want to be there. So
and maybe I like that. What, that's how it should be.
Right.
And every year.
That's kind of an extension of the accountability thing.
Right.
So I wonder if he's giving McCoy the chance.
Yeah, see if he shows up for voluntary.
Maybe it's all on McCoy.
Voluntary.
Maybe they're putting McCoy's fate in his own hands. Hey, buddy, show us what you got. Prove to us that you want to be here.
It is going to be interesting because I don't think McCoy has the huge marketing machine behind him that he used to have ever since he got rid of his agent. No, wait a minute. Ever since his agent left CAA, went off a branch and did his own thing, McCoy stuck with his agent. I'm pretty sure. I've got this somewhere. But anyhow, he doesn't have the marketing power the past couple years behind him. So it'll be interesting to see how this falls out. I think as it stands, Arians got a better platform than McCoy does to air his side. So when this all happens, you know, unless everything turns out amicably, you know, if the crap does hit the fan, both sides split, it's going to be interesting to see whose side everybody takes based on who has the bigger marketing platform. Right now, Arians does, I think.
I think so, too. I think the fan base is more united behind him.
Which is unusual. McCoy's never had that either. He's always been a bigger star than the coach.
That's true. I just thought of this. All these players that we're signing, they're on one-year prove-it deals.
Right.
So I wonder if that's a theme of Arians' regime, too. Prove it.
Prove it. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
I think it has more to do with cap space, but it could be.
Probably, but you could cut other people.
Yes.
I mean, like Golston, we talked about, there's some of the smaller guys where you could cut 4 or 5 enough to pay your rookies, Akeem McCoy.
Right.
I mean, they haven't flat out said they're getting rid of him either.
No.
They've said, you know, we want to make sure he wants to be here and he's not as disruptive as he was, especially for the price that we're paying for him. So it's not a done deal that he's gone. I mean, it sounds that way, but...
I think you're right. I think it's going to be up to McCoy. I think if he goes into the building during voluntary workouts and stuff and goes in there and shows... And he's always been a great practicer. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the guy goes in there and busts his butts during practice and all that. And if he does that and he shows Arians that he really wants to play, I don't think Arians would want to cut him.
No.
Or trade him.
He said that in general, too. We want guys that want to be here.
Interesting. So, next week is going to be pretty interesting in that aspect. See if McCoy shows up for voluntary workouts.
And it could very well be just a numbers thing. I don't know. We don't know.
Well, that's
all speculation.
Yeah, that's what running the numbers, somebody has got to go. Somebody big. And Brait and JPP, their money's already guaranteed, right?
Right. But we could trade them.
Okay, we could trade them. Hey, New England needs a tight end.
Right. I think Locked On Bucks talked about that in their podcast. Yeah.
Well, yeah, somebody's got to go. There's no question about that. Brait, JPP, McCoy, Golston. I mean, we've got a bevy of players that we could release, get rid of, trade, whatever. But somebody has to go. And this might be Arians going, I want to see who wants to play, who's going to step up, show up to voluntary workouts, be in this building every day, because that's what he needs. He doesn't have a whole bunch of time to build this team, and
no, we're in a win now.
Yeah, he's flat out said that.
Very
this
clear.
Is we are trying to win now. But of course, Lovey came in and said the same damn thing.
Yeah, and don't they all kind of say that?
Yeah, pretty much.
I think Cutter wasn't as enthusiastic, but I feel like Arians is the most committed to it. I don't feel like it's lip service with him.
I don't either. I don't think he plans on coaching for more than 2-3 years.
Right. You know, and I wonder also if
how long was his contract for?
It's a 4-year with a 5th-year option.
Okay. So 4 years. I'm thinking he wants to be out of here in 3.
Yeah, probably.
And spend that last year just collecting a paycheck.
Right. Another point with McCoy, they could be using this as leverage to get him to restructure his deal, too.
That was just so... I mean, he's never played, not once, has he played for under $10 million.
Right. I mean, maybe...
And let me go ahead and correct that before I have to do another fact check. He made $7 million in 2012 and $8 million in 2013. So, you know, if he could go back to that level, that'd be fine.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe they could restructure his deal. Maybe he comes in, he shows that he wants to be there, and then they say, okay, well, we can't afford to keep you, so you got to restructure your deal.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it's a prove-it move.
Yeah, I think it's all on McCoy. So we'll see. What were you going to say? I interrupted you.
That was it. That's what
okay.
I was going to say.
All right. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up.
For real this time.
For real. We only planned on being on this thing for about 15, 20 minutes. Didn't have a whole lot to talk about, but you know us. We get our mouths running, and we'll talk about Buccaneers and football all day long.
That's why we started a podcast.
That's why we have a podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can contact us at Twitter. Our handle is @Bucks_Observer. Until then.
Go Bucks.